On Wednesday evenings, we've been taking a look at the judgments, and the judgment of the saints is what we're on, the judgment seat of Christ. And we've taken a look at that in the scriptures and know that it's so very clear that we do have a judgment. And so there would be some that would say, I'm saved, so everything's good and nothing else to be concerned about. Well, we find in the scripture that's not so. Some would say, everything's just all lined out. So, whatever I get from God, then I'll be good at. What I don't get from the Lord, I won't be good at. And there it is. Just what it is, it is. A fatalistic kind of attitude. Thing is, the scripture doesn't come to us that way. But the scripture charges us and challenges us. Being laborers together with God, as the scripture says, the Lord working with us and in us. He's given us many things to help us with this old flesh and to live for Him and walk for Him. And as we saw last time in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there is wood, hay, and stubble that will be burned up, and there are gold, silver, and precious stones that will endure. And so from that, using that thought as a springboard, to our next passage, I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's just read this, read what the scripture says. And the Lord never gives us something. Our Lord never gives us anything in the scripture, tongue in cheek, good words to say, the right kind of challenge with it being another way or something that trumps that, okay? Indeed, as you go through the scriptures from the book of Genesis to the book of the Revelation, the scripture and the Lord's way and working is peeled back like an onion into us. And from the time of Genesis to the time of now, we understand clearly many more things than they. The Lord has always been the answer. And the Lord is always the way of salvation. The Lord has always been the Savior. Okay. But you and I, with the Lord's word in our midst and in us and with us, we have a lot of instruction about a lot of things to give us clarity about the way it really is. And so we never need to presume, we need to take the whole counsel of God, put it together, that we might walk well with our Lord, avail ourselves of the things that He's given us and the challenges, the admonition that He's given to us, the blessings that He's given us to give us help and strength. To be able to overcome the world, to overcome our own selves. That's really for the child of God, that's really the final challenge, is to deal with you, for you to deal with you, for me to deal with me. That is the challenge. That is the fight. We saw here in 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, coming, shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so there's a fire that is a refining fire in this passage. And so we were in search of how is that? How will that work? What will that be? Okay. And so, Let's take a look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. The scripture says here, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in which the spirit lives, and in your spirit, if you will, our soul and our very being, that part of you that makes you you, which are God's. Okay, and so just wanted to touch on that before we left it. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 4 and take a look what the scripture says here about our judgment and the way that it is with the children of God. I think that there is a for some, there is a misunderstanding about the relationship that's at hand. Before we were saved, we were sinners, condemned, undone, separated by God, a chasm of sin and rebellion, wickedness, depravity. We are aliens of Him, from Him, separated. I mean, great is the gap between us and our Creator. But when the Lord saves us, we go from being a stranger to a child. Sins are paid for. Remission has been made. You know what remission is? It's the word that's akin and in line with remittance. If you've ever had a loan on anything or a payment due on anything, you remitted your payment. You sit in your payment. Jesus paid our payment, our sin debt. And having been done, so many things in salvation are at hand, but we just want to take a look at this. Having paid our sins, they're paid for, they're gone, they're separated from us as far as the east is from the west, and now no longer a stranger, no longer separated from God, but we have actually the Lord living within us, and we have been brought to be made the children of God. Totally different relationship. The Lord is angry with the wicked every day. The Lord loves His children. Totally different relationship. So in this relationship, we need to understand what our calling, what the admonition, what the directive, what the command of God is for us and where we stand. Okay? So in 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll read the first 8 verses here. Let's read what it says here. For as much then as Christ had suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind as Christ. He was dogged, wasn't he? He was on focus. He was on target. He was dedicated to his work and calling. Okay? For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. And so, making this old flesh be mortified, suffering the denial of self for the sake of following the Lord. He says, we suffer in the flesh, we mortify this flesh, we'll cease from sin. Now, will we be sinless? No, not till the Lord gives us that new body, till we're out of here. Let's say that. Till we're with the Lord, we will not be sinless. But this is our goal, this is our pursuit. That he no longer should live, the child of God, the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. That's what we've been saved from. Listen to that verse. That he, that's you and me, child of God, no longer should live the rest of his time. So that's what we have, is the rest of this, our time. Salvation, or our old wicked way. Salvation, the rest of our time. This time is totally different from that time. And we've got it. And how are we going to use it? That we should, you know, it doesn't say will. It says should. Doesn't say will. Says should. That he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust, the desires of men, but to the will of God. That's the rest of the time I've got going forward from being saved, same way with you, should be lived to the will of God. Okay? For the time past, so there's a reference there, the time past of our life. Time forward, time past. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, the will of men, the will and the way of the world. When we walked in lasciviousness, listen about past, okay? Lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they, that world from which you and I have been saved, think it strange that ye, you and I, do not run not with them to the same excess of riot that we used to, speaking evil of us. Those that are still over in that, they don't understand what's happened to us. And they will do just that. They will speak evil of us. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. You and I are alive. We're children of God. He's going to judge us. The scripture's clear. He's also going to judge the unrepentant and the unbelieving too. There's going to be nobody escapes the judgment, as we've well seen. 4:4. Isn't that strange in the English language how you line up the same word to be able to make a point? There's instances of that. Because for this cause was the gospel also to them preached also to them that are dead. That's the reason the gospel is to go out into every creature, that they may hear, that they might know, that they might flee the judgment to come. And some do hear. Those that do hear do flee. Those who do not flee. They love their sin more than anything they've heard yet. Okay? That's the Lord works in those things. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Some of us have believed. Some of us have been saved by the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. But the end of all things is at hand. Children of God, be ye therefore sober. That means really understand what's going on. Don't be duped into thinking something else is going on. Don't live with, as we might, the expression with rose-tinted glasses. But really understand what's going on. Don't be a deceiver of self. But understand the truth and the way God really looks at things. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, children of God, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity, agape love, love with legs on it, shall cover the multitude of sins. It's not talking about sins and transgressions that are ignored. It's not talking about that. It's talking about when somebody sins against you and me, we forgive them just outright. Love will do that. When they come and repent, we acknowledge that publicly, and the fellowship is restored like that. We take that too. And then we don't go down the road beating them up anymore about it. It'll cover the multitude of sins. When we are pitiful and courteous and long-suffering with one another, because we're people and we're going to get on each other's nerves. I'm going to do things that are going to just bug you, drive you nuts. But being your brother, I need you to forgive me. Sometimes I need you to talk to me. And it's just that way with all of us together. I'll just use myself as the example. It's just that way. And indeed, love does cover a multitude of sins. Our Lord's love for us has covered a multitude of sins. Brother David wrote in Psalm 32, by our inspiration of our Lord, blessed is he whose sins are covered. Okay? So the rest of our time, we see this here mentioned. And then we come over here to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. There's one verse that we want to get to here, but let's just kind of walk through the chapter to understand its context. What advantage does a Jew have in Romans chapter 3? The Word of God. Because some don't believe, does that make God's Word and power ineffectual? No, God forbid. God is always true. Men are liars. And the Lord has given His word that all men might be warned. That many, many, many would be warned. Our unrighteousness has commended the righteousness of God. And is God guilty in any of this? Does he do mankind wrong in any way? Never. Always understand that. God never gets it wrong. Now, we want in our wisdom, our self-wisdom, we want to think that he gets it wrong, but it's not so. God forbid. He will judge the world. See that again. All will be judged. So then his truth is abounded because of our sin, our lie. Then if we are that viewed by some as that engine for the glory of God to be manifested, then why do we suffer as sinners, the judgment of the Lord, the unrepentant? And then it's a slanderous report there in verse number 8 that Paul declares, do evil so good may come. That's not true. He said, those that hold to that, their damnation is just. Those are strong words, isn't it? None of us are any better than the Gentiles are not better than the Jews. The Jews not better than the Gentiles. We're all under sin. As it is written, verse number 10, and a whole litany, a compilation of scriptures in the Old Testament that just tells us about our sick, putrid depravity because of sin. It's a terrible, terrible picture. Terrible. Terrible picture. Verse number 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. Why? That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Purpose of the law. We're guilty. No ifs, ands, or buts. No negotiating out of it. No excuse that rates and ranks with God, but we're guilty. If you're here without Christ as your Savior, that's where you need to become. You need to become guilty. No ifs, ands, or buts. No blaming somebody else. No blaming your circumstances. No blaming your ignorance. But you're guilty before God. A sinner condemned before God. You know, you need to see that for there can be any help and hope. Because the Lord declares and his way is that sinners repent. And you got to know that you're guilty to see that you need to repent. So by the deeds of the law, verse 20, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So let's read on. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, verse 20, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The law is not salvation, for by law is the knowledge of sin. Knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, is shown forth, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus, his faithfulness, to fulfill the law, to fulfill the will of God, to make a way that sinners can be saved. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus, unto all and upon all them that believe in him. His faithfulness. He was faithful to accomplish it. You don't need the law to save you because the law won't save you. You need the law to show you you're a sinner. Okay? But Jesus is the one that kept the law so that sinners like you and I can be saved and have that, his faithfulness to keeping the law of God given unto us. Imputation. The prophets spoke about it. The law speaks about it. Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Jew or Greek needs the same thing. Jew or Gentile. Hallmark passage, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all means all. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption. That redemption is talking about payment. Okay? It is free. It is gracious of God to have considered in eternity past to be willing to save anybody. It is gracious for the Lord to design a plan and a purpose that God the Son would come and be the Savior. It is gracious of God to do that. And then bring it all to pass, all the details of it. And the Lord Jesus, when it came time, not balk, but really go ahead and come. It was gracious for him to do that. Because in our time perspective, he did that way, way, way back there nearly 2,000 years ago before you and I even showed up here. And if you're saved, you know he did it and believe that he did it for you. And that is the manifestation of the children of God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. The propitiation is talking about a body that takes the beating. Scourged, spit upon, slapped, crucified, wrath of God poured out upon him. That's what propitiation is talking about. The one that stood in my place and was able to take, endure, and pay for what I deserve to pay, which I could never pay for an eternity. That's what propitiation is speaking about. The suffering body, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. You ready? For the remission, that's talking about payment, of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Sins that are past. Now, I didn't write it. The Lord wrote it. Sins that are past. Payment for sins that are past. I want you to hang on to that. If you're taking notes, write that down, this verse. Payment, remission for sins that are past. Through the forbearance, the holding up of the Lord in judgment, the long suffering of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. That's the answer. That's the payment. That's the justification. That is the redemption, is him and everything that he did. Okay? To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, which he is. He's proved it over and over again. And the justifier, which is what you and I need, of him which believeth, has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. How are the children of God a recipient of that? By simply believing and trusting in Jesus' faithfulness to have done such a thing for us. That's it. To admit, I need it. I have no hope without him. And to believe that he did so for you. For you, for me. I believe so for me. Boasting is excluded. It's all by the Lord. And faith is the way that sinners are saved. We rely upon the Lord Jesus to apply the payment, to not get the sins, not get your sins and my sins mixed up. We rely on him to do the accounting. We rely on him to do all those things that he's promised for the child of God going forward. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Indeed, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Amen. Yes. Yea, of the Gentiles also. Praise God for that. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, the Jews, and the uncircumcision through faith. Those are the channels by which we are justified. Faith in Christ, his righteousness, and justification is a test of righteousness. Okay, the scripture bears that out plainly. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We need the law to see what the whole problem is. But the law is not the Savior. So here in verse number 25, we see this about remission of sins that are past. Okay? Now we want to come to Hebrews chapter 10. And just from an introductory standpoint, because there's no way in one night you've worked, you've gone to school, you've come a long way to services, and I'm thankful for that. I appreciate that. I don't want to wear you out. We just want to lay this in here so we can go ahead and really deal with it good next time. We come to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read quickly here, okay? We can summarize this quickly. Get us to the point where we're at, okay? So let's remember, the children of God have a judgment. We've got a responsibility and a command to be obedient. We have helps of the Lord unto us. The new man never sins. The Spirit of God lives within. But we got the old man strapped on our back. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? See, there's an answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ. See, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We have this avenue and blessing of prayer to petition the Lord for the help that we need. We have a God who is not challenged by impossibilities. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm looking to bring all those passages in that we might understand the blessed sweetness of drawing near to the Lord. Do you remember that? Yeah, drawing near. Draw me. Draw me. Okay? We've got all those things that are there. We've not been left. We've not been left, if you will, with an empty toolbox. But we've been given great blessings to live for our Lord. Hebrews 10. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and so we're talking about the law, and it is a shadow. You understand about casting a shadow. And not the very image of the things, only shadows, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. We understand that, right? As a brother mentioned, gallons of blood. I've often wondered about that myself. Gallons, barrels of blood. I think a barrel of oil is around 33 gallons, something like that. Barrels and barrels over the centuries of blood that was shed. Not a bit of it could touch one sin. It was an obedience to God. So many sacrifices. Can't make us perfect, okay? Cannot make us perfect. Remember that word. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If they could have done the job, they would have quit offering them, but they never did. Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. It would really do the trick. It would even to the conscience, you would know my sins are forgiven. See, we have that now in Christ. My sins past, my sins confessed as a child of God. I'm going to explain that better. But my sins past, at the time that the Lord saved me, my sins past were forgiven. Do I have to worry about them? They may plague me from the standpoint of what it put in this old mind and all that. But do they plague me before the Lord? They're paid for. They're paid for. Even a man that tormented the Lord's people and his churches and put them to death, they're paid for. They're paid for. The murderer on the cross of, hanging on a cross by the Lord, insurrectionists and murderers, paid for. Okay? Sins past, paid for. Okay? If the animal sacrifices would have done it, there'd been no more thinking, no plague or thought about sin. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. Why? Because the high priest had to make the annual atonement in the seventh month. You got to keep coming back. Passover's got to keep on being offered. It didn't do it. For it is not possible. He makes clear that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It's not possible. Wherefore, when he, that is our Lord Jesus, cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. A body to be the propitiation. The body to take the load of sin and carry it to Calvary. The body in which the blood, the divine, righteous, and holy blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was contained, that he shed on Calvary to wash away his people's sins. Okay? A body hast thou prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices, the Lord Jesus speaking, if you will, for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me in the Old Testament to do thy will, O God. Abraham said it, God shall provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, right? For a sacrifice. Above, when he said earlier in the passage, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein. He's reminded us of what he just said, which are offered by the law. Then said he, his answer to that, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Look at that, the Father. The Father wants the Son to come. The Father is not like it is with us. We would say, we as sons would propose something to our Father and he'd say, well, I really don't know if I agree with that. You ever hear that, fellas? Yeah, we all have. Well, I don't think I'd do it that way. No, the father wanted the son to go. And the son was willing to come and do it. Okay? Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written to me to do thy will, O God. Verse number 8, verse number 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that Old Testament, that he may establish the new, the second, the new covenant, the New Testament, which we've seen about in more recent times. By the which will we are sanctified, set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. Once for all. Added words. That helps us. But he did it once. Not year after year after year. Not month after month after month. But he did it once. Because the answer, he's the answer for every sacrifice that there is. He did it. And he did it for me. You declare he did it for you. Okay? And every priest standeth, verse 11, daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices. And my, don't you know that it was repetitious. I think if my memory serves me correctly, a priest offering sacrifices and having that duty, the equivalency would be in our day of someone working in a slaughterhouse, hard work, with no automation, okay? The way that it was is they did that for 20 years, 40, 50 years old, and then they were trainers because it was hard work. Okay? It was hard, brutal work. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, he became a man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And we've seen that in 1 Corinthians about how that's going to be. The Son is sitting at the right hand of the Father and waiting till the Lord puts all things under his feet. Okay, and so we're in that time yet and those things going forward. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That word perfected here is to complete. Some of our brothers and sisters sing a song, complete in thee. And indeed we are. We're complete. So understand this. Brother Peter says, the rest of our time, we saw in Romans, sins that are past. We were saved and then we were learned. And we have been blessed to be in one of the Lord's churches to have that teaching and instructor. We're commanded many things by the Lord. We're given many things by the Lord to subdue this flesh and to mortify this flesh. What about sins that are forward? The relationship has changed. We are forgiven in Christ. But we know that we do yet fail and commit sins. So what about those? The relationship is different. So our sins, I'll go ahead and declare this to you, our sins do not stand against us eternally because of what Christ has done. But yet our sins are there as his children. And we're looking to see about that and how that is dealt with. By one offering he hath perfected, completed forever them that are sanctified, the set apart. You can go to Romans chapter 8 and see about that. The Lord's people were sanctified before time, before the foundation of the world. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. From the standpoint of eternal condemnation, hell and the lake of fire, we've been rescued. We're not the stranger anymore, but we're made the child. Our sins like that are remembered no more by the Lord. Listen to what he says. Now where remission, payment of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And so going forward from here, we're going to see How is it that the Lord deals with his children's sins going forward? Eternally, and from the standpoint of condemnation, that tells us in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Okay, the relation, we're not the same as we were. We're children. Yet we still sin and we yet fail. And we are to avoid it at all cost. And pray that our Lord will help us not to sin against him. And we know what the Lord tells us in 1 John chapter 1, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hear what he says? Hear what he says? Again, when we sin, we're not in jeopardy of condemnation of our soul. But as children, we do have our sin that we have to reckon with before our God. So, Lord willing, next time we'll go from here, verse number 19 on, to see what then. I encourage you to take this passage and read it. It is a head scratcher passage to many. It is a passage that we can take directly. We don't have to bend it. We don't have to twist it. We don't have to break it or do anything to it. We can take it just as it says and believe it. Because you know what we're going to end up with? The Lord chastens his children. The Lord chastens his children now because he loves us. And at that judgment seat of Christ, he will chasten us there also. Not condemnation. We're saved from condemnation. But we are not saved from chastisement because we are children. Okay? And so, Lord willing, we'll go on from here and see what the Scriptures, what the Lord declares unto us.